This podcast version of Soul to Soul has been altered from the original broadcast version. When I was very young, a friend of mine asked me to go to the movies. We loved going to the movies. It was our escape. However, this time, the movie was different. It wasn't the usual movie that we were used to seeing. This didn't have any of the movie stars of the day or the special effects that were starting to become prevalent at that time. For this was a documentary, and not just any documentary. This was a documentary about past contact that humans may have had with ancient aliens. The film, of course, was the groundbreaking Chariots of the Gods, based upon the best-selling book by Eric von Daniken. The queue to get into the cinema that day was the largest that I had seen at that point of my life. It seemed like everyone was talking about this film, but not with skeptical tones, but with respect and curiosity. No one was saying, "Oh, this is rubbish," but people were starting to say, "What if?" This week on Soul to Soul, in conjunction with our sister program Beyond 3D, we are proud to bring you an exclusive interview with the legendary Eric von Daniken.
We also speak with Lauren from the Living Earth, and we have messages from Joni, Liara, and P.S.
And it all starts now.
Soundtrack to the 2010 Montreal Jazz Festival. This is Bienvenue dans ma vie. You're experiencing Soul to Soul on 98.7 RPPFM.
And joining us here in the Soul to Soul and RPPFM Blue Scope studio is Lauren from the Living Earth. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We are really excited about having you because you've started this great new shop in Frankston, which is all about art and jewelry and crystals and singing bowls and tarot cards. And it sounds like you've got just about everything going on there. Tell us about this shop.
Well, no, it does. It's a little bit of everything. I've had some people ask me to define the store before it actually opened, and I think the best I could think of was it's just a hippie shop. There's
a hippie shop.
Beautiful combination of a little bit of everything. I'm very passionate about where I source my pieces. I like to involve the locals in the community with, like, I've got some art, I've got some, you know, your handmade dream catchers, and all these beautiful bits and pieces that people are handcrafting. But with things like anything I bring in internationally, I know exactly where it is. I've got art, I've got paintings in from that I've hand sourced from Thailand. I've got pieces in from a orphanage in Kenya that I once volunteered with. I've got pieces in from Nepal that have been sent over from a Melburnian woman who was over there when the earthquake struck. So energetically, everything is really important as to where I source things from. I don't want to be just buying something from a warehouse down the road and mark it up 400% and not care where it comes from. So there's a little bit of everything in there. It's forever changing as to what comes in and what people want, but it's all coming together.
So what inspired you to open the store in the first place?
Absolute impulse. It was, I was living in Queensland, and I'd been there for 2 years, and there was something I wasn't happy with. I wasn't happy with my environment, and I knew that there was a reason why I was being pulled to move home. So I guess I accepted the challenge, and I packed up and I moved home, and within probably a fortnight, there was actually an advertisement from a woman who was doing like markets and had a little stall in her garage that there was a heap of stock there. And I sort of, I looked at it and I thought about it. I was like, yeah, why not? And it all came together really, really quickly. I bought the stock and I found my suppliers and I opened the shop, and it's all, the shop's been dictating to me what it wants. It's been wonderful. I've just been following along.
And I also see you have some wonderful support there. You have Kerry that's doing energetic work and sound healings there. Regina, who's doing psychic medium work there on Tuesdays. Leah, who's a shamanic healer. Natalie, who's a tarot reader. And Effie, is it, who also does Reiki as well?
Absolutely.
Have these people just come to you as well, or have you sourced them out, or how has that come about?
The way that came together was absolutely incredible. With the shop, there was a little back room that could have been storage or an office or something, and as soon as I set foot in there, I was like, oh, I'd love to have a form of healing modality just to enhance the environment of the store, and you could combine both two. And literally within, I'd say, 3 days of the store being open, I had people come to me. I had Kerry walked in on my first day and said, oh, I know someone who's fantastic, who is a shamanic healer, who turned out to be Leah. And then Leah called me that night. I had Effie walk in the next day, and we organised Saturdays there and then. Mm. I then had Natalie walk in. Oh, no, Natalie emailed me and said, hi, I've just seen your shop on Facebook. By any chance, do you have a back room? And by any chance, do you want someone to do Reiki and readings? And it was just blowing my mind. And then Regina walked in a couple of days later, and she just, oh, just mid-conversation, picked up on family members, and we had a wonderful conversation. And it's just, within a week, that back room was booked 6 days a week. It's just incredible.
Fantastic. Yeah. And of course, we know Regina from a past interview on Soul to Soul as well. She was the one that made us aware that the shop was open. And thank you, Regina, for
that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Regina.
So how are people taking to the shop right in the middle of Frankston there? Are people really warming to it? Are you getting a lot of passing trade?
It's been a really positive experience. I'd say 90% of people who walk in will stop for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I say that the energy is wonderful and have said that it's about time there's a place like this in Frankston.
Right.
My little coffee shop next door is wonderful, and I've got this little tokens. If the customer's in wanting a conversation, I can give them a little pirate token. They go in next door, they go to coffee, and I'll go back in. It's the personalization of it that's really wonderful. Or the last 10% you can sit there, so if they walk in, they'll do a loop and walk straight back out again. So it's really interesting to see who's drawn to the place and who isn't. But so far it's been, really positive. Really, really positive.
Because we know down this part of the world there's a ton of spiritual people. Mm. We know that ourselves from almost 3 years on air now, as Soul to Soul. Down here there's a lot of spiritual people down here. A shop like this in Frankston's been needed for quite a while. It's amazing you've tapped in right at the right time and the right energy. Again, you're being guided, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I have been. And every day I'm just really, really grateful that it's the store that came to me is just, it's in a perfect location. It's got a beautiful energy to it naturally. And it's, just really grateful the way everything's come together. It's out of my control now. The shop is absolutely dictating to me what it wants. I just open the doors every day.
Out of curiosity, what items are sort of most popular at the moment?
I've sold a ton of singing bowls. My Nepalese clothing that's just landed this week, I'm selling heaps of as well.
Right.
I've got a few of my bigger pieces of artwork that are been pit snaffled up already. A lot of stones and a lot of my crystals have been sold. Just a little bit of everything. I'm noticing a trend of what doesn't sell. Mm. Which is interesting too, because I get to talk to everyone as well and work out what they like and what they don't and what people expect. I've got a new brand of incense in that I hadn't heard of called Reiki Energy that I sold 2 full boxes of that in under a week.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, so I'm just keeping open-minded as to what people expect as well, because it is, it's a community thing and I can't just put pieces in that I want to sell and not expect that everyone's going to think along the same lines, really. So
what's not selling? That's an interesting thought.
Vases.
Vases.
And just a couple of little sort of itty bitty pieces. When someone wouldn't understand the ideal of a hippie shop, I sort of say it's more like a gift shop type thing.
Mm.
And some bits and pieces just absolutely people walk straight past. So it's, I'm rotating things around. And it's really interesting to see.
So you're learning from the people as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
To. I'm assuming you've got Nag Champa in there.
I absolutely do, yes.
Can't have a store without Nag Champa.
Has to be.
So where do you see the store going in the future? Is it, are you going to develop it as a centre?
Yes, I would love to. There's a, I think, the healing side, and there's we're bringing in, we're introducing as of next week, the, some workshops as well. Like Regina will be doing a tarot reading workshop. Natalie's going to be doing meditation evenings. Kerry's going to be doing sound healing circles. And I think that is the avenue that the store wants to go. Ideally, I would love to stay in Frankston. I'm really liking the area at the moment. But just expand the size of the store so we can have more healing rooms and have the girls working full-time if they wish. And I think the physical shop aspect will be minimised. Still there, absolutely, but it's, I think, yeah, the healing side of it is is where it needs to be.
Well, we're certainly going to keep plugging it for you in Soul to Soul, and we're going to be letting people know that you're out there and doing this, and hopefully it just goes from strength to strength to strength.
Thank you so much for your support, Steve.
Thanks for coming on the show today, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
All the very best.
Cheers.
Hi. I'm Liara Covert, and this is Soul to Soul Radio. Many people notice a shift that translates into changes unfolding within them and all around them. Another way to view this is the thinning of the veil that separates the physical world of form from the spiritual world. Yet what if no veil exists between the physical and spiritual worlds? What if this is another self-created illusion as part of the game you play with yourself? What if what is described as the shift is simply the melding of the conscious and subconscious minds? After all, each human contains the universe. What if fear itself is the substance of the veil? What if it is only layers of fear that prevent a human from remembering who he is and living this fully? What if this is the metaphor of every fruit and vegetable we peel to remove layers of our own unconsciousness to get to the juicy heart of the matter? After all, we choose what we feel. What if the point of choosing to be human is to incarnate on Earth to do purely what we feel, uninhibited? To love ourselves, to love every encounter, to love every experience. To find a message of love in everything and to integrate it. Fearlessness is not truly lived as a mental process. It must be understood through direct experience. It's as if each time you release a fear, you remove a layer of the veil you create for yourself. Each human creates an individual ego identity. Collective consciousness exists in the subconscious. So until the conscious meets the subconscious, the sense of interconnectedness, that perception of reality, doesn't feel real. If you can imagine and know something to be true, this is your reality. The heart through which you feel is the portal to all worlds. Discover what it is to be completely free and expressive. To integrate spirit consciousness is to remember all you choose to forget and all you convince yourself you fear. Multidimensional reality is flowing out from each of us. To see through your own illusions can be life-changing, provided you have the courage to transcend them. Whenever you sense a fear vibration arise, do what you fear. As fear arises, it already begins to dislodge the illusion. It's as if you're going upstairs, bringing heaven into your direct experience each time you dissolve a fear. A feeling of the human self is linked to identity. Thus, the ultimate revelation of the shift is that of total equality. From the moment you see everything is equal, all separation dissolves. You see yourself as the bridge, a bridging consciousness between everything. All beings that have ever been, that exist in this moment, are accessible to everyone. And we exist here to feel and connect with each other. Nothing is beyond the reach of oneness. Shift to see from this vantage point and know everything. You are your own oracle. The balance of your inner masculine and feminine energies opens your third eye and your high heart, which have been dormant in your earth vessel since your birth. The opening allows you to begin the gradual unveiling of the illusions of your third dimensional reality. With the opening of your third eye and heart, or the revelation they've never been closed, new brain waves come online. And it's as if you access and have free use of your multidimensional operating system. The side effects of this shift are as amazing as you decide. You can expect the unexpected, deep personal revelations, stronger intimacy with yourself and the world. Spirituality is the experience of oneness that underlies all appearances. As more people integrate spirituality and physicality, the word spirituality is no longer used. Verbal language itself grows increasingly obsolete. Human beings shift from talking about things to being them. Hi, I'm Liara Covert, a galactic traveler, author, and intuitive catalyst for expansion. I guide and empower people to tune into timeless cosmic wisdom and to reactivate superhuman abilities. Visit the Dream Builders Australia blog. That's blog.dreambuilders.com.au. Follow my Facebook page. Tune into another regular radio show I do with Stephen Harefield, the American Monk, on Insight Radio. You can also contact me via Liara, L-I-A-R-A, at dreambuilders.com.au.
From Crystal Theory's album Mingle, this is La Vie en Rose.
Hello, I'm Viviana.
Hi, I'm Kelly from Alpha Fitness and Wellbeing.
Hi everyone, I'm Sue Nicholson.
Hi, this is Yvonne Tierbos.
Hi, I'm Liara Covert.
Hello, this is Brian Baru.
Hello, this is Linda.
Hi, this is Lisa.
And Trace.
And you're listening to Soul to Soul.
On RPFM.
Recently, it was Soul to Soul's great pleasure to be invited into an exclusive joint phone interview with Beyond 3D's Matt and Clint and the author of Chariots of the Gods, Eric von Daniken.
It is a privilege for us at Beyond 3D to be able to talk to this next gentleman who is considered the grandfather of ancient alien studies, amongst other things. He has written many, many books over the years, including Chariots of the Gods. And welcome back to Australia to Mr. Eric von Daniken. So, Eric, it is great to talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back in Australia, finally.
If you could, for our listeners, if you could just give a brief synopsis of your background and we can take it forward to what you are doing in Australia now and how the tour is going to go.
I'm Eric von Däniken. I'm a Swiss. I was educated in Switzerland in a Catholic boarding school for quite some 6 years. The school was led by Jesuits. So I was a deep believer in God when I was a young man. By the way, I still am a deep believer in God. Mm. But my God of my youth had to have some qualities. For example, God makes no mistake. God does not need a vehicle in which to move around from point A to point B, and so on. Now, in this boarding school, we had to translate parts of the Bible from Greek to Latin and from Latin to German. And there I learned that in some parts of the Bible, a God is described which descends on the holy mountain with smoke and fire and trembling and loud noise, and so on. Or the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament describes a God who descends again, and he even describes the noise. He compares the noise with the thundering of a waterfall. He describes the wheels, the legs, the wings, and so on. So the result was I had doubts in my own Catholic education, and I simply wanted to find out if other communities in antiquity have similar stories than we have from the Christian and Jewish tradition. And that was the beginning of my studies. The result was Chariots of the Gods, but that's nearly 45 years ago. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm 80. And in Chariots of the Gods, I came up with the idea that our planet Earth was visited some thousands and thousands of years ago by extraterrestrials. At that time, our ancestors were Stone Age people. They did not understand what was going on, and they believed, erroneously, that these gods were, extraterrestrials were some gods. Of course, we all know that there are no gods. That was the misunderstanding. And so this idea of the gods descending to our planet was handed down in mythologies, in legends, and partly in the old religion. That's the main story of Erich von Däniken.
As far as what it actually was, I did a while ago hear you speak on something that's very near and dear to my heart, which is the Indian traditions. And the Indian traditions for me, I lived in India for a year, and I studied the Ramayana, and I studied the Mahabharata, and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you look at what is being written about those texts in particular, and if you go back to the Upanishads and the Vedas as well, you will find that the gods Krishna, which is the incarnation of Vishnu, Rama, Balarama, all of these people, all of these entities, seemed to have other earthly kind or otherworldly kind of powers that they possessed. Yeah, I can see where a person would believe that they came from off-world in a sense because of the things that they were able to do, and the only way the people of the time could describe it was to describe it as something godly in a sense to them.
That's exactly my point. You know, our ancestors created gigantic buildings, for example, temples and pyramids and whatever. And it is not my belief that extraterrestrials created these temples. It was always the humans who did it. My question was, why? What was the reason? What was the purpose? Why did humans take these gigantic works? And the reason is always, well, because of the gods. Okay, which gods? Now, the natural explanation is, well, the gods in nature. You know, our ancestors, Stone Age people, they admired the sun or the moon. They were afraid of an earthquake or of lightning. So they were afraid of natural forces. And that's how they admired the gods. That's okay so far. But these gods I'm talking about, they gave information to us. And in some case, scientific information. For example, concerning mathematics, concerning astronomy, etc. So the difference between the natural gods and the so-called gods from outer space is they were talking. Information was giving to the humans. And that's why I say they were extraterrestrials. Our ancestors simply could not understand it.
Erich, I'm curious. I'm assuming you're familiar with the work of Zachariah Sitchin.
We know each other very well.
Oh, fantastic. Do you subscribe to his ideas of the Anunnaki? Does that sit in well with how you see things?
More or less, yes. What I do not agree with Zachariah Sitchin is the story of the 12th planet. There might be that we have some little planets or planets-like things in our solar system, but not the 12th planet which surrounds the sun in 3,600 years. So in this story, I don't agree with Zachariah Sitchin. Right. In the rest, I absolutely agree with Anunnaki and all. We were slaves. We were misused and misleaded by the extraterrestrials some thousands of years ago.
Yes, because that story sits very nicely with a lot of the things you've presented over the years in your own work, doesn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Erich, if I may, Based upon the work you have done, where would you date the pyramids as far as when they were built?
Ah, God. You see, in ancient time, 450 BC, there was a Greek historian. His name was Herodotus. Mm-hmm. Herodotus was also in Egypt, and Herodotus was in Thebes. Thebes is today's city of Luxor on the Nile. Mm-hmm. And Herodotus tells us that the high priest showed him 241 statues, one statue next to the other. And the high priest gave an explanation to every statue. And at the end, the high priest said, these 241 statues represent 11,340 years. At that time, the gods from the sky have been among the humans. Since that time, the gods have not returned. So Herodotus made this statement about 2,500 years from now. And he says 11,340 years. So we have to add the 2,500 years from now to the 11,340. That means roughly 14,000 years ago. So 14,000 years ago, the gods were among the humans. And at that time, the pyramid should be constructed, according at least to Herodotus and to Theodore and other antique writers.
That sits very well with a lot of the work that other people have done as well. I actually want to ask a question which brings us back into the now and possibly looking into the future. Now, when you came on the scene with this information about 45 years ago, it was a revelation to a lot of people. Now it's a bit more common, what with shows like Ancient Aliens on the History Channel and a lot of shows like that. A lot of people are very familiar with this work now. Where do you think this work is taking us into the future, Eric?
Well, it's bringing us to a new consciousness, a new way of thinking. You know, on Earth, generally spoken, we have two types of humans in our society. One type of humans is religious. It doesn't matter what kind of religion. The religious people have been taught that God made everything. God made the planets, God made the plants, God made the living trees and so on. But finally, God, as the crown of creation, he made us, the humans. The second type of human are the scientific community. They believe it's all evolution. Evolution, mutation, selection. But we are on the top of evolution. So in both cases, if you look at it religiously, crown of creation, or scientifically, top of evolution, in both cases, we look at us as the greatest. There's nothing out there like us. And this has to be changed. You ask, where does this idea of extraterrestrials bring us? It makes us more modern and more modest. We have to learn we are not the only intelligent being in this universe. There are other intelligent forms of life. Some of them are most advanced, more advanced than we. We have to learn this, and then we are ready for a possible contact with them. As long as we think we are the greatest, we are not ready. We are against the extraterrestrials.
Eric, I wanted to know, what have you written lately? I believe I heard that you had a new book coming out.
That's a never-ending story. You see, Chariots of the Gods is now more than 45 years old. And since Chariots of the Gods, I have published 37 other titles. And it's always the same theme. I always say this planet was visited by beings from outer space thousands of years ago. But it's always new indications. It's never the same book. The theme is the same. So I have written books only about the Mayas, written books only about Egypt, written books only about Asia, and so on, to support my case with indications. Of course, indications are never a complete proof. I have never found an extraterrestrial object until today. I would be proud to present an extraterrestrial object to the scientific community and say, hey, here now we have a final proof. But we have a proof by indication, hundreds and hundreds of indications in the old writings, in the sculptures, in the temples, in the buildings. They all together make this picture. We were visited by beings from outer space. And these visitors have promised when they were here that they will return in the future. You know, when Francisco Pizarro was the conqueror of the Inca kingdom in South America and Peru. When Francisco Pizarro for the first time arrived in Peru, the natives believed that he was the long-awaited god. So they believed he was a returning god. The same thing happened in Central America. For example, Hernando Cortes, he was the conqueror of Central America. Mm-hmm. He came together with the Aztec king Moctezuma. Moctezuma believed that Cortes was the long-awaited god. The same thing happened in the South Sea. James Cook, for example. The natives always believed that they were the gods they were expecting long time ago. So this expectation of the returning of someone is not a Christian invention. That was living long before Christianity. And what about today? I'm educated as a Catholic, and we Christians, we wait for the returning of Jesus. But the Muslim society has the same belief. They believe that the Mahdi will one day return. As we know, the Buddhist society is waiting for the return of Buddha. As we all know, the great Jewish community is waiting for the returning of Messiah. So not only the cultures who died, also our living religions still believe that someone will return. Now, honestly, not every religion can be right. Some of them must be wrong. What if they are all wrong? I think it's not Jesus or Buddha or Mahdi who return. It's simply extraterrestrials. And if they return, we have a catastrophe on planet. We are shocked. That's why I think it makes sense to take our point of view into consideration. Look at it with new eyes. And maybe you came to the same answer as we. And then we are not afraid anymore if they return. And they will return. Maybe they are even here. Nobody knows for sure.
Well said.
To hear the full unedited version of this exclusive interview with Eric von Daniken, tune in to Beyond 3D this Saturday night from 9:30 p.m. only here on RPPFM. From the movie soundtrack to Chariots of the Gods, this is The Main Theme by Peter Thomas.
Hi everyone, I'm Sue Nicholson and you're listening to Soul to Soul.
This is Joni with her inspired writings.
Your love remains. My life follows a pattern, and not one I necessarily want to keep repeating. I see where I fall over and over again, ignoring my gut feelings, and instead letting my pain and fear lead the way. You are never far away, my free will at times leading me further away, but nonetheless, your love remains. I try to understand my life's purpose. I continually search for meaning during my darkest of days, and still your love remains. No matter how far I stray, your light draws me away from the darkness and towards the light. Your light gives my life meaning. It fills me up with love and compassion, and lights my path not only for me, but for those in and around me. All life's paths lead back to you. My journey to each path a choice for me to make. No matter the distance to your embrace, I will always know your love remains.
To find out more about Joni, go to facebook.com/inspirationJoniO or see her webpage at joniortbring.wordpress.com. Or follow the links from the Soul to Soul Facebook page. If you would like to contact us here at Soul to Soul, go to our new webpage, soultosoulonline.com, and click the contact link, or you can email us at s2sonair@gmail.com.
And don't forget to visit and like our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com facebook.com/soul2soulrppfm. To gracefully attempt at navigating waters where its own content are of extraordinary effect is when a soul has reached its own soulful potentiality. It has, by then, a graceful acknowledgement of all soul world citizens and far beyond. It claims to its own that all is of forgiveness. It fully understands that by its own principalities, of its own desirable effects, it can then denunciate among all what it is to be a world-class citizen, classifying oneself as a graceful content is quite of extraordinary effect towards all world citizens. It can then bring among all happiness and joyful content. It can exuberate from within one's own soulful perspective many sightseeings of all types of overtuning effects, and coalesce from within a multitude of selves in all ways it has soulfully corresponded itself as, and in as many soul symposiums it has so desired to be in full effect of it on. So this is simply said and so well done by most of this world by now. Many are in this contentful situation, in all differing ways of self-perceivable effects. It is out there for all to see. It is in full bloom of light for all to well succeed in. It has acknowledged itself in multiplicities, in all ways exemplary effects out there, and as out there vestally becomes itself in here, in each one's heart. The heart can feel its precipitation of beating from in and among all world citizens, where it has been acquired and fully succeeded into oneself. So this full procession of light has now fully taken its place of inhabitation in this world. It is all lit for all to see. It is now in its full spectacular by its own true selves, and in full delightful effect for all to bestially observe as their own fulfilling light endearments of their own true selves as it is. So please take some time to notice this all around each one. Each one do so can see a soul here now fully present, enlightened in a soul-specific way of self-understood, the true patterning effect of its texturing has now an appealing content full effect for and among all world citizens. And so it is. I am of the light in full frequency, now fully acknowledging this spectrum as its own soulful effect. And so it is.
From Kiki D, this is Amarus. Well, that's all we have for this installment of Soul to Soul.
To find links for the content of today's program and to explore bonus material, go to and like the Soul to Soul Facebook page.
To find us on Facebook, Just type soul 2, the number 2, not the word 2, soul, RPPFM, into the Facebook browser.
And don't forget to visit our Vimeo page, which is vimeo.com/soul2soul.
Until next, we entangle.
Namaste.
The divine in us salutes.
The divine in you all. Oh.